It was a record-breaking day for Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba, their annual Singles Day event raking in over $24 billion. It's the biggest online sales event in the world, outstripping the US version Black Friday. Singles Day originally began as a novelty holiday to celebrate not being in a relationship, but it has evolved into a shopping bonanza that sees peak sales within the first few minutes of the 24-hour spending window.
Brutal selling in the stock market during the month of October has eased, and now the sellers have set their sights on something else, the oil markets. Oil prices falling below $60 a barrel for the first time since March. Crude has fallen 10 straight days in a row. As a matter of fact, the selling has been so sharp, prices are down 20% from the peak set in October. Technically, that means the oil market is in what is known on Wall Street as a bear market.
China's Xinhua news agency has unveiled what they are calling artificial intelligence news anchors. Although they might not be real, the agency says the anchors can read text, mimic facial expressions, and impersonate mannerisms as realistically as a human. So much so that they could threaten the jobs of the presenters they're modeled off. Literally, Xinhua reported on its website that they are experimenting with the software as a way to lower production costs.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's November 12th, 5:11 in the morning. Here we are again with the start of another business day and another business week. And another edition of The Opening Bell. Thank you for being with us this morning. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today. Productivity expert Chris Bailey is going to be here. He's also the author of Hyper Focus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction. We'll talk to Chris about how we can maybe find some things to keep us focused and away from those smartphones. And you'll be surprised, too, at some of the stats that Chris has. We'll bring in Chris momentarily. A little bit later in the program, the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce will be here to talk about business climate in Illinois, the new governor as well. That'll be at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, where futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures are off about 231 points. The NASDAQ futures off more than a percent, almost a percent and a half now, approaching 2%. The S&P 500 off more than a percent as well, heading to the opening bell a little bit later on this morning. Around the globe, markets are mixed in Europe with the FTSE higher, the DAX lower, and the CAC higher just by a fraction. Asian markets generally are higher. Oil is trading at $60.43 a barrel, which is at 24 cents, up about 24 cents. This morning, a couple of stories before we begin. Major oil producers on hand for a summit in Abu Dhabi acknowledge that production cuts of up to $1 million a barrel may be necessary. The Saudi Energy Ministry said today that an analysis suggested that cuts may be necessary, but authorities felt there were many assumptions built into the analysis. But his counterpart of the United Arab Emirates says that changes would likely be necessary. He, however, added that they're not going to overreact when this situation presents itself. Crude oil dropped to a low of $30 a barrel in January 2016. Benchmark crude, which had been above $80 a barrel recently, now hovers just over $70. So we'll be watching oil prices as we move through the day today. The FDA expected to announce a plan this week that will limit sales of most flavored e-cigarettes to vape shops in an effort to cut down on teen vaping. According to CNBC, the agency has given five major cigarette manufacturers through the weekend to submit proposals on how to prevent teens from using that product. And the world's population is growing and expanding. Scientists in Norway project the worldwide population will hit 9.9 billion by the year 2050. It's currently sitting at just over 7 billion. Humans are expected to continue a trend of getting larger and heavier, and that leads them to eating more. The WWF says the world's biggest environmental problem is the destruction of plant and wildlife habitats because of human demand, which is only expected to get worse. Front and center this morning, Chris Bailey is here. He's a productivity expert, also the author of Hyper Focus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction. Chris, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good day to you, sir. How are you?
Doing very well. I'm very excited to talk to you this morning because I think all of us have these issues where we can't be focused for long. Our productivity is suffering. So many things distracting us. And your book, Hyper Focus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction, has come along at a really good time. Tell us about why you decided to write the book and how big this problem is.
Honestly, it was after I published my first book, and I noticed that after it came out and it was selling well and it was out into the world, I noticed that I was distracted myself. And of all things, the first book was a book about productivity. And so I figured, okay, wait a second. If I'm such a big nerd about this topic of productivity, and I'm facing this challenge myself, maybe there's a part of the picture with regard to distraction that I'm missing. And maybe, just maybe, this is a problem that other people face too. And so I dove into the research at that point. I don't know if you've ever watched one of those crime shows where somebody's got that map and there's string attached to the map, attached to newspaper clippings and like photos of suspects. That was like the state of my office at this point. And I realized that this is a human problem. And it, like you said, it's never been as bad as it is today. One of the most alarming stats that I encountered in writing the book that kind of validated this idea is that when we're working in front of a computer, we focus on one thing for just 40 seconds before we switch to doing something else, before our mind wanders, before we check our email, before we hop on our phone and go to Instagram and check the news and Twitter. And so this is a human phenomenon, but I don't think it's as our fault as much as we might think. And there are luckily a lot of things that we can do to get ahead of this impulse.
I wanted to share something about this that you wrote, was written about you recently, and this comes from the productivity project that you ran to kind of do all of this. When we focus on one thing for 40, we focus on one thing for 40 seconds on average before getting distracted and moving on to something else. And then it takes about 50% longer to complete the project and about 25 minutes to resume our focus. I mean, that seems, imagine that happening several times a day or multiple times a day.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing. And it takes us a long time to sometimes refocus. Usually we refocus our attention pretty quickly. But when we're distracted or interrupted completely, it takes us about 25 minutes to get back on track, which is kind of sad, but we kind of notice this throughout the day where maybe we wake up and our phone wakes us up and we see we got two emails that came in overnight. We check our email, then we go to in the loop of apps that maybe switching every 40 seconds, and before we know it, almost half an hour has gone by. And you hit on one of the bigger costs of doing this, and that's what we think of as multitasking, which is really just rapidly switching between things. We do one thing, then we do the next, we do the next, then we do the next. And the reason that this doesn't work is quite simple, and it's actually kind of interesting, is we can't go from working on one thing to doing something else in a sudden moment. There's always a part of us that's devoting cognitive resources, devoting a bit of attention to what we were just doing. And so if we could switch between things totally seamlessly, we'd be fine. We'd be able to multitask and switch between things very easily. But we can't, because a part of us is always stuck in the past in a way, transitioning from what we were just doing into what we're trying to do in the present. And so, I think this is one of the bigger costs of this rapid switching is, we become so stimulated on one hand, so we can't really dial down a little bit and think deeply about things. That's one cost. Another cost, like you said, things take about 50% longer the more often we switch between things. And another cost is when we switch to something that is a complete distraction, we lose about half an hour of productivity. We fare a bit better when somebody interrupts us, curiously. It takes us about 22 minutes to get back on track in those cases. But when we interrupt ourselves, it takes us 29 minutes to resume working on what we were just doing. And so there's, I don't find statistics personally that motivating, because you just hear a number. But these things taken together, I think, paint a picture of not only how distracted we are and how stimulated we are, but how costly these can be if we're not deliberate about managing our attention. I think that's the key, is we need to become deliberate about how we focus and as well as unfocus.
And the good news is that it's pretty easy to fix, at least in the workplace, when a lot of us are watching the clock anyway to see when 5 o'clock rolls around. but for every minute that we try to fix our focus, to try to improve our focus, we're gaining about 10 minutes of productivity. So there is a good fix here and a quick fix almost.
Well, this is, I think, the key to good productivity advice. Is there's a lot of BS out there. There's a lot of fluff in the productivity space. You know, you walk down the business aisle at a bookstore and you think, oh, there's hundreds of books about time management here. But if you spent your day reading all those books, you'd never get anything accomplished. And this is the key, I think, to good productivity advice. Is for every minute you spend reading about productivity or listening to a guy like me talk about it, you have to make that time back and then some, right? Or else you're just essentially consuming what I like to call productivity porn, which there it's fun to read about in the moment. It's fun to read about, you know, how Richard Branson or Sheryl Sandberg schedule their day. But you have to make that time back or else you're just kind of consuming entertainment. But luckily, you know, managing our attention, taming distractions, making ourselves less stimulated. I think this is the bigger challenge that we face these days. We all know that we face a lot of distractions. We all know we switch between things quite often. But I think the bigger cost to this is that we're so stimulated and we kind of only skim the surface of how well we're able to manage our attention. And you know, if there's one thing, you know, in assembling that big, I don't know what it's called, a murder map, you know, who murdered our attention in my office with the strings and the pictures. If there's one thing that became clear looking at the research, it's that the state of our attention determines the state of our lives. And so the better we manage our attention, the better our life becomes. And this is because the individual moments of our life when we're distracted, they never really exist in isolation. They build up, they accumulate over time, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, to create a life that feels distracted. One of my favorite studies that I encountered and write about a little bit in the book is involving the Boston Marathon bombings, I think that happened in 2013. And the group of researchers examined two groups of people. The first group of people watched 6 or more hours of news coverage about the Boston Marathon bombings, and they examined those people against those who were in the actual marathon. And what the researchers found was that people who watched 6 or more hours of news coverage about the Boston Marathon bombings were more likely to develop PTSD than somebody who was in the marathon and personally affected by the events. Isn't that incredible? If that doesn't kind of solidify this idea, the state of our attention determines the state of our lives. I would even go so far as it's saying it's our attention is the most important ingredient we have to living a good life and also becoming more productive.
I like in the book how you, from the very beginning, sort of tell us, give us a sense of, okay, do you have enough focus to even get through this book? I thought that was a very, very novel way, but you kind of go through some of the things to check to see if you even have the focus to read your book. And I think those things are part of the advice that you lay out further on in the book about, you know, putting your phone aside, making sure no one's going to come into your office and distract you. And like in my case, not staring and daydreaming out the window, I guess. But
that beautiful cityscape outside the window.
Exactly. So those are some pretty practical things to get started with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is the thing. A lot of chapters or a lot of books start at chapter one. I start my book at chapter zero because, you know, we need ways to focus better. And I think there's a few things that we can do immediately right now and able to focus so we can focus better on what's important. You know, keeping our phone out of sight. This isn't my quote. I forget who said it. But if the first thing we did in the morning was reach for a bottle of whiskey, we'd be an alcoholic. So what does it say about the state of our mind that the first thing we do in the morning is reach for our phone and bounce around between a bunch of apps? And we do this throughout the day as we work. And usually our phone is the most stimulating thing in our environment. So that's the very first thing. Step zero to reading hyperfocus is to keep your phone out of sight. But there are a lot of other things that we can do. One powerful way that I personally improve my focus, because I struggle with this stuff as much as the next person, is to maintain a distractions list as I'm doing some work. So if I'm, say, writing a book or an article or whatever I'm doing, when a distraction comes to mind and I think, oh, I need to follow up with Steve about this thing, or I need to remember to pick up cantaloupe on my way home, whatever the heck the thought is, I'll put it on the distractions list. And so that in the moment, I can refocus on whatever it is that I'm doing in that moment, which is usually 95% of the time more important than whatever distraction happens to come to mind. But, you know, another thing is to consume a bit of caffeine before reading the book, provided it's not too late in the day. Hopefully nobody picks this thing up at like 8 p.m. and gets a nice cup of coffee in and can't sleep. But you know, if it's not too late in the day, because it takes caffeine 8 to 14 hours to metabolize out of our system, you know, consuming a bit of caffeine narrows our attentional spotlight. And plus, it's just fun. It gives us more energy. But I think we have to consume it deliberately before our most important tasks, so we actually benefit from that energy boost. And so, you know, the bottom line is that there are things that we can do right away to refocus on what's important. I think that's that's kind of the key to beginning to manage our attention a bit better.
You also write about taking timeouts and doing, again, being strategic about that as well, and being focused on the timeout that you're taking.
You know, my office here is against a highway, and so I look out over it, and it's fun to see the cars move throughout the day. And, you know, I'm sure you might have a similar view of a road down below it from the, I'd love to see a picture of this new office that you've got. I'm going to have to check out your Twitter afterwards. But if you look at how traffic flows down a highway, it's actually quite fascinating. And what allows cars to move forward isn't how fast they're moving. The speed of a car with regard to traffic flow doesn't really matter much. What matters and what allows traffic to move forward is how much space exists between the cars. This allows traffic to move forward at a reasonable pace. And I think our work is the exact same way. And, it's funny, I set out to write a book, Hyperfocus. How do we become more productive? How do we focus on things all day long? And along the way, I realized that focusing on stuff all day long is one of the absolute worst things that we can do for our productivity, for how much meaning we see around us, because it's in these moments between the things that we do that allows us to move things forward, especially when we get to relax a bit, when we have a bit of time for reflection between things, especially reflective enjoyment, as I like to see it. You know, we actually think about our goals 14 times as often when our attention is wandering versus when we're focused on something. This is the most creative mode of our mind. I call it scatter focus. When we let our mind wander, we could be taking a bath. We could be sipping on a cup of coffee without our phone. And in fact, if you think back to when your last most brilliant light bulb idea hit you, you probably weren't focused on anything. Maybe your mind was wandering during a shower, and then suddenly out of the mist, a new idea emerged as your mind connected a few of the constellations of dots that were swirling around in your mind. And we need more moments like this. We don't only come up with ideas, though. We think about the future. In fact, our mind wanders to think about the future whenever we're in this scatter focus mode 48% of the time. You know, if it's as simple as walking to the meeting room in your office without tapping on your phone, you'll find that this is exactly the case. Your mind will begin to think, okay, I need to get this across in the meeting. I need to think about this. I need to follow up with this. You think about the future naturally. You just need the space to do so. You need to make some space between the things that you do and, you know, defend the gap, mind the gaps of your day. You know, create some space between the things, because this ultimately, because you think about the future, because you come up with ideas that let you work smarter, and because you have this enjoyment between things that lets you recharge, this is one of those ideas that falls into the category of tactics that let us earn that time back and then some, and that are worth investing in way more than we already are.
Chris, what is the payoff here? What's the big payoff if we follow some of your advice? Are we going to get a promotion at work? Are we going to make more money at work? Finish our projects faster? All of the above.
You know, productivity is a weird word, because when a lot of people hear it, what comes to mind is something that feels so cold and corporate and all about efficiency. And, you know, there's that side of it too. But I think productivity advice exists to allow us to accomplish what we intend to do in the first place. And so I would make the argument that whatever it is that you want to accomplish, whether it's more time on the beach or more money at work or more meaningful connections in your life or all of the above, a promotion, whatever it happens to be, this advice ultimately should allow you to follow through on the intentions that you set. And so I'd say all of the above. I think at the same time, we can have anything that we want, but not everything that we want. So we need to be a bit selective about our reason for striving to become more productive. But, you know, for me personally, I like to make a good amount of money but while carving out more time for what's meaningful in my life. And so that's my intention with productivity. But whatever yours is, I think the best advice helps you do that.
Chris, good chatting with you this morning. All the best with your book, and come back and join us sometime.
I will, my friend. Thank you for having me.
Chris Bailey is the author of Hyper Focus, How to Be More Productive in a World of Distraction, published by Penguin Random House. You can find more about Chris and his work online as well at alifeofproductivity.com. We'll continue our conversation with Chris after the bell. Post more of our interview in the podcast later this morning at WGNRadio.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. The election is over. Lawmakers are about to get back to work. Lots of issues facing the business community as we get going here. Todd Meisch is the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce and is with us to talk about some of them from the business community. Todd, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning, everybody, and great to be with you on an important Veterans Day today.
Yes, and to you as well, and thank you for all of the veterans and their service. I want to begin with, I guess, the election is probably the best way to get going. We have a new governor, some new members of Congress from Illinois. What's the Illinois Chamber of Commerce thinking these days about how it might work with some of these new elected officials?
Well, I think it's going to be a challenge, but we're going to approach it with an open mind. I think that after every election, even though that some very good, well-established friends of business appear to have lost or certainly have lost, Randy Holcren and Peter Roskam were incredibly important to the business community, and I think a pro-business majority out in Congress, and then a whole raft of suburban legislators, unfortunately, that supported the chamber, supported employers, lost their races as well. I think that Illinois was not unique. We're unique in that in the Midwest, we seem to be a blue state in a sea of red. When you look across the country, we were part of a suburban wave that was worked against the Republicans, and usually those are pretty good pro-business candidates. But we're going to keep an open mind. There are an awful lot of new legislators to meet. We're going to reach out to them. We're going to establish where we've got common ground, where we can work together.
And it's very important to do that, because there's so many issues facing the state and businesses here in the state. hard to pick one that's more important than the other, but what would you say the top three are?
I would say if in Congress, it's really maintaining the positive things that have happened already, the regulatory rollback, which has been very important, and the Trump administration can go ahead and continue. Tax reform has been a real positive for the business community, especially small businesses. The ability to immediately expense capital investment has been incredibly important. But the one issue that I think there's maybe an opportunity to move the ball on, despite all the rhetoric about the caravan coming up from Mexico, is immigration. If Republicans and Democrats were willing to go small ball and say, you know what, we need to go ahead and have just almost a straight-up trade for DACA reform, reestablish that in statutes, in exchange for the president's wall or additional border security, that's a deal that could get done. I think you'd find a lot of people would be a little skeptical of that, but I think that a comprehensive immigration bill, neither party really wants politically. They both want immigration going forward as an issue in 2020, but if you go ahead and make it a small ball deal on immigration, I think that's possible. At a state level, I will tell you that the graduated income tax is the top of everybody's mind. That is what J.B. Pritzker ran on. He said he's going to go ahead and get that constitutional amendment on the ballot. We think that's a terrible idea, especially for small business and entrepreneurs. It's a terrible idea, and we'll be working against that quite a bit. Minimum wage, and then I'm going to give you four, marijuana and gaming, not every business's favorite issues, but I think they're going to happen. So we're going to have to spend time on both of those as well.
Todd, what would be the on back to the income tax situation, the tax situation? What would be a better solution? Illinois has so many problems, but what would your suggestion be? What would the Illinois Chamber of Commerce's suggestion be here?
Yeah, I'd say that there are probably about two or three things that we would say that you should do instead of that. Now, Governor Rauner, we are very supportive of him. Obviously, he came up pretty well short here. But he had the right idea in that if it's just taxation and just spending, Illinois can't solve its problems. You've got to have a growth component. And he was very right about that. He's still right about that. So you've got to do some things to promote growth. So what are Democrats willing to do? Infrastructure investment is probably the best way to go forward. It's about jobs, but it's also about maintaining our infrastructure that's so vital to the rest of the economy. So I think an investment in infrastructure is very, very important. But in terms of straight up the revenues and the spending side, I think that, you know what, employers would actually consider another income tax increase if they thought the money was actually going to go to filling the deficit as opposed to more spending. Let's face it, some Republicans, but a lot of Democrats, really like to spend money. So there's a real skepticism that any kind of general tax increase would go to more spending as opposed to address the deficit issue. You've got to go ahead and take another look at Medicaid. You've got to take another look at pensions. You've got to take a look at the real cost drivers in state spending, or we'll never get out of the problem we're in. So spending restraint is what I think most employers want to see before they'll even consider whether we should have more revenue in the state of Illinois.
I've heard a couple of business folks say that stability is also pretty important, to have some sort of plan to stick with it and to have everybody know what the plan is moving forward. Just something as basic as that is important to business.
It is very important, but there are lots of ways to define stability. There are an awful lot of members on the liberal side of the Democratic caucus who think stability is ever-increasing spending matched by ever-increasing tax rates. And they would love to go ahead and put that on the success tax on success in the state, which means entrepreneurs, small businesses that are growing the economy. We think that's a terrible way to go. Stability really means we're going to go ahead and have a realistic constraint on what spending in the state is going to be and have revenues get as close to matching that as possible, but then the gap be filled by growth in the economy. You cannot simply address taxes and spending and think that Illinois is going to fix its fiscal problems. If we don't have greater growth, we're going to be in just in a debt cycle, frankly.
Yeah, and I guess the challenge here for folks who have your viewpoint is that, and as you mentioned earlier, Governor Rauner lost by a pretty big margin. Pritzker won by a pretty big margin. Those are folks who knew what he was proposing that voted for him to move forward on. So it's gonna be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I think so. I think that strictly in terms of strictly political terms, I think a lot of people just have decided that Governor Rauner's approach is something that they didn't like. So I'm not certain that Pritzker has the mandate that a lot of people would think that he does. Let's face it, he didn't talk a lot about specifics. He talked about a graduated income tax, making it fairer, but refused to talk about what the rates would be. In a lot of other states that have a graduated income tax, the ramp up in rates starts as low as $14,000. The reality is you cannot fix Illinois' revenue problems by simply taxing the rich, however you want to define the rich, $1,800,000. There's not enough money there. Those rates always come down into the middle class, whether it's in the first bill or subsequent bills. So that's an example of where I think that Pritzker would be very smart to recognize that he got into office largely on Rauner's unpopularity, not on a mandate to tax the middle class, which is what we think he'll have to do if he's relying on a graduated income tax for more revenue.
You know, as we examine all of the different problems impacting Illinois, it's hard to be optimistic, but I want to ask you that question. Are you optimistic that we can get these problems under control and move Illinois back to some sort of normalcy and prosperity?
Well, normalcy in Illinois and normalcy in other states are frankly two different things. It will be more predictable, I think, so that in many ways is a positive, setting aside a few things like graduated income tax and minimum wage is another big issue that we haven't talked about yet. But I think that there will be a return to some kind of normalcy. We've seen Democrats be in charge before. And I think that as much as Speaker Madigan was the boogeyman for the Rauner administration, go back to the Blagojevich days. Speaker Madigan really stopped a lot of the worst ideas from happening. So I think that that is a positive and that there's going to be a structural shift back, that people will be a little more predictable, even though it's not good policy. The good news is that for Illinoisans, though, is that this is a great market. It's the sixth biggest market. People are still coming here. People want to be in Illinois because of positive workforce and things that government can't screw up, such as geography. You can't screw up geography as much as the legislature might try from time to time. And so logistics and transportation is always going to be absolutely vital for the entire nation as it comes through Illinois. It has to. So, yeah, there are a lot of positives that are out there, but frankly, there are things that government can't screw up. I think we've got a very low floor. We've got a low ceiling, and they're very close to each other, unfortunately, but I think we're going to establish that range here relatively quickly.
Todd, good conversation with you this morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be on.
Todd Meisch, the president and CEO of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. You can find more about them online at illchamber.org.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses later on Wall Street. Dow futures off 231 points this morning. NASDAQ futures are off 137 points. S&P futures off more than 1% as well. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we start another trading week, we take a quick look back at Friday. Not the best of days for agricultural commodities. Live cattle futures fell more than 1% on Friday under pressure from lower wholesale beef prices. Front month December live cattle down $1.97 for the day. The grain market, wheat futures fell to a one-week low on Friday. Corn followed wheat lower on technical selling, but soybeans turned a little higher on firming U.S. cash markets, as well as optimism about U.S.-China talks later this month. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Monday, November 12th. Not a lot on the calendar today. We'll get a look at a couple of data points later in the week, though. The Red Book tomorrow. We'll also see the Treasury budget. CPI comes in on Wednesday. Thursday, jobless claims. The Philadelphia Fed Business Outlook, a report on retail sales. On Friday, industrial production. On the earnings calendar today, Eventbrite is among the big companies reporting earnings. So plenty of things that could move the markets on this Monday, November the 12th.